It is 6 o'clock on Wednesday, February 25th, and this is a regularly scheduled Planning Commission meeting. In attendance are Sherman Howard, Richard Howard, Alan Bice, Christian Harrison, and Kyson Spindlove. Could I have a volunteer to lead us in, to give us an invocation and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Please.
Our Father in Heaven, we are grateful for all of these blessings that we have to be here in this town of Laverkin and the opportunity we have to make these decisions concerning Laverkin, and we ask thy guidance and help to be with us with our, the decisions that we make. We thank thee for the moisture that we have received, the rain in the valleys and the snow in the mountains, and we ask thee to continue to bless this area with the moisture that we need. We thank thee for this beautiful country that we live in and ask thee to bless and help and guide the leaders of it. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number D is approval of tonight's agenda. Motion by Kyson, second by Sherm. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Item number C, approval of the minutes of the February 11, 2026 regular meeting.
I move to approve the minutes of the February 11th regular meeting.
I'll second that motion.
Motion by Richard, second by Christian. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Item number D, reports. City Council, John.
It was a fairly abbreviated session last week. We passed an ordinance 2026-04, amending the code concerning statement of delinquency charges, and they're going to go through an electronic system of notification. The other ordinance was 2026-05, amending the cemetery rules. That's my one.
Thank you. There you are.
Sorry, I don't like to be up here with you guys, but it wouldn't work. So.
Director of Operations, Derek.
Thank you. So, a couple things. First of all, it's getting to be that crappy time of the year when we bring in irrigation water back in. So, our plan will be the second week, I think it's the 9th, right? We'll start bringing it in for the city to make sure all the lines are able to water up, pressurize up, and make any repairs so that by the 16th, which would be that first Monday, we'll have the irrigation water in and fully functional. Two other things, so on the, as far as the top side, Sitla sold, put out for purchase 300 and something plus acres. Award has been given out, but the company that bought it is not officially out there yet, but they're under development guidelines from Sitla of a 5 to 7 year plan, or there will be penalties or potentially property being taken back, which leads us to believe that the development will happen much faster than we anticipated. The bank also, at the middle of January, put the bank property, the 500 plus acres up there, back out on the market. Had 20 people or companies or investors interested in it. We've met with a few of them. Had a company come in from Kansas City that is looking at it. They're going through that process, and of course we know that the owners of the Sitla property and whoever ends up purchasing the the bank property. We'll have to work together to get the infrastructure figured out, since we'll be running off the same tank and the same water lines and much the same roads to get in and out of the top site. So it is more pressing that we understand the dynamics of the requirements of the top site. So I've talked.
Can you speak into the mic?
I always thought I was loud enough. So I tapped Brad. So I gave Brad a copy of the old mosaic that was near completion back in 2006-2007, along with the PID ordinance that the council put together for the last investor that eventually fell through on the top side, along with the development agreement that was agreed upon between the city and the bank, which makes that still in effect as far as granting 1,600 ERUs on the bank property, not the civil property yet. And stuff. So I give Brad that information, and he's going to get it all kind of put together along with the rules of the PCD, which is the Planning Community Development Ordinance, to give us a brief overview next meeting of where we sit, where we're going to end up going, your total involvement in the process, so that you guys have a better understanding of what to start looking forward to, and realize the fact that you're going to have a lot of input into what happens up there, even though some things have been decided in the development agreement as far as, you know, like I said, the connections, as far as the percentage of commercial businesses. I can't remember if we got into acreage of high density, you know, medium-sized density and stuff. That's been too long, but I thought it would be good for Brad to brief us on that, because that's going to be big, and we're going to be under a timeline, and we definitely have one shot at this, so I thought it'd be good for us to take the time and really start to hammer on that now. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Item number F, public hearing. We have four public hearings scheduled tonight. There's a statement I always read before public hearings. Public hearings are designated for the public to express opinions or desires or to make statements otherwise relevant to the issue being discussed. They're not an opportunity for debate or discussion. At the discretion of the city staff or planning commission, questions raised during the public hearing portion of the meeting may be addressed after the public hearing closes and the planning commission discusses the issue at hand, or may be addressed by city staff at a later date. But during the public hearing, no interactive discussion will take place. To give everyone an opportunity to speak, we will limit each speaker to 3 minutes. You're encouraged to be concise and brief. And please don't discuss things other than those that the public hearings are to cover. Let's do the first three public hearings all in one public hearing, because the topics they discuss are similar, but, well, they're the same topic, but for three different commercial zones. And then we'll open the fourth public hearing, which covers the mixed-use zone. So if you'd like to speak, please come up to the microphone and state your name for the record. And Derek, could you time for us?
Yeah, sorry.
Are they aware that we're talking general commercial zone, or is that commercial first commercial?
No, thank you. Those three public hearings that we're going to do together are, one, an ordinance amending the general commercial zone, number two, an ordinance amending the retail commercial zone, and number three, an ordinance amending the tourist commercial zone.
Just a quick question. In the material provided, it looked like the only changes, the amendment to the ordinances, are on the setback for the height. So 18 feet from the 30-foot property line if it's residential, and then after that it can go maximum height. I was just questioning if that is the only change. Just wanted to be sure on that. And then also, if there is an example that can be understood by the general public as to what that would actually look like, and maybe trying to think what maybe that would be like looking to the cemetery would be an example of how much distance that is from maybe the fields to the property line. The 18-foot setback before it can go all the way up seems awfully short. And maybe I might be reading that wrong. Might have been 50 feet. But anyway, that was a concern. Just that, are we got a huge, tall commercial building, hotel, whatever, is that setback to the residential property line, is there building sufficient not to be tearing down on somebody's property? So that's the essence of the question. And that would be, I believe, the same for all of these, that as far as I can tell, that was the only amendment.
My name is David Olson. Back in the 70s, I heard a famous man use this phrase. We have traveled far into the soul-destroying land of socialism. I've pondered that phrase for many years. Freedom, liberty, plus responsibility makes up freedom. If we don't want the responsibility of teaching our children, we give that over to the responsibility of the school system. Along with that, we lose a portion of ours and our children's liberty. If we don't want to teach our children about God and their relationship to Him, we give over our responsibility to the churches. The children may conclude that mom and dad don't really know or care. We are too busy to exercise our own property rights. We turn over responsibility for those rights to cities and counties. They are happy to accept them. And a portion of our liberty goes with them. If we will not take responsibility for our own actions, we find that is what the police are there for. And we may lose all of our liberty. In these examples, parents and homeowners freely give away their responsibilities and their liberties, and governments happily receive them. Both parties are off of their life missions. These are soul-destroying to both parties. Parents are charged by God that they are to teach and train up their children. Governments are instituted among men to protect God-given rights, including property rights, not to exercise unrighteous dominion. Now, I was here the last meeting, and I heard the gentleman from the South describe the homeowners in Lubbercan as an invasive species. I think a gentleman over here likened us to worms that had gotten out of the camp. Some of these short-term rental people. They had a hard time putting them back in the can. Another person described the terrible result of short-term rentals. The police had to be called not once, but twice, so they'd move their parked car. I'm so glad that's all the police have to do is these short-term rental rascals. Maybe we can lay off a couple of deputies and save some money. But look, I am not your enemy. We are all Americans, and we love liberty. Okay? I just think that it is not requisite that one man should have power over another, unwisely and unrighteously. I think if you allow citizens decide what to do. We don't trust them, right?
10 seconds.
Huh?
10 seconds.
Okay, thank you very much.
Commercial,
what's the next
terms
one?
Commercial.
What's the next one up with? Is it with the ADU?
Nope.
No ADU?
We did
well,
last
time I came up here, I said my name was Curtis Gubler, and I'm for it, and I didn't say anything if anybody, my reasoning behind anything. It's like I just own a fourplex up the street here, and right now, it's has more drug use going on than ever, and they're long term. And I remember hearing you say, well, they're all druggies. It's like they're not all druggies, these short termers. But that's my opinion. And that's what we'll talk about it today. I won't talk about it, I apologize.
Further comments? Seeing that, we'll close that public hearing. Do you want to address Patty's concerns?
Yeah. Is this on? Okay. Yeah, just real briefly, there's actually four different aspects to these three zones that are being changed. We're changing some of the development standards. We are changing the setback requirements. And the way those are being changed is to try to provide more of a buffer between the existing residential area and a commercial development. 18 feet is actually the height that you can only go between his property line and 50 feet in, and then it can go to the height of the zone. So that is being changed. We had some debate on that because we wanted to make sure there was enough of a buffer, at least allow the person to develop the property and also provide some buffer for the residential area. We're changing the application requirements too. As you recall, when we did the architectural development standards, we had a precise plan requirement. That's now being instituted into the commercial zones. So anybody that develops in a commercial zone will have to come in and go through a process of the planning commission to be able to see. And then finally, we had a similar use finding, meaning that if there's permitted uses in the zone, if somebody comes in and there's a use that's similar to that, the planning commission can say yes, that's the type of use in that zone. So it's not totally comprehensive, but it just kind of fine-tunes these zones.
Thank you. Okay. The fourth public hearing is an ordinance amending the mixed-use zone. We've had some discussion and feel like there's more work to do with that mixed-use zone. So because the public hearing is on the agenda tonight, we'll have it, but we won't. We'll delay discussion and possible action on it until we give it get some more attention. That having been said, I'll open a public hearing for an ordinance amending the mixed-use zone. Should anyone opt to speak to that? Patty?
Yes. Great work, Katie. Thank all of you for all of the comments. And I really appreciate everything Brad bringing up the downtown development. I think that's so crucial, and it's crucial to the mixed use. Unfortunately, the grant did not come about, but I think with Brad's 20 years of experience and all of your work, that we can come up with a really good downtown development. But to me, it seems like that needs to be decided before the details and ordinance passed or moved to the city council. At least a really good solid idea of what a downtown could look like and what we want it to be. And the only other thing I would encourage is that, and I can get this information to Gary, to pass out or to you, Alan, is the company that the city was contemplating going with for the downtown development, having got the grant, is Roger Brooks. I don't remember the full name of this company, but he has so much had a cell physical one, and I'd be more than happy to pass that along.
Thank you. Further comment? Seeing none, we'll close that public hearing and move to item number G, business. Number one, discussion and possible action to recommend approval of an ordinance amending the definition of detached accessory dwelling units to allow short-term rentals, vacation rentals, for lot or parcel that are 10,000 square feet or larger in residential zones within the community, and providing an effective date. So that's an action to send this ordinance to the City Council. So that would require a motion to recommend approval of that and a second. And then let's do a roll call vote on that. And if you feel impressed to briefly express an opinion or a reason for your vote, that would be appropriate. Unless before we do that, the commission would like more discussion.
Well, likely for the public's benefit to know some of the discussion that we had in the work meeting, trying to consider all the aspects of this. And you know, the city with Derek and with Faye and other people working on it. What they've come up with is something that, to me, would be agreeable if the thing were passed, because it kind of quantifies and identifies a little bit more of the things that the city could have a concern about. And we talk about zoning because of what the impact that we have on each other here in the city. And so these kind of things were really good work. But it still boils down to what the city is going to look like and how much we're able to handle in this city with this many more ADUs than we already have. And so that's where the discussion went. But at least the work on it is really good.
I think I agree with Richard in the state that it's in. I don't know that there's much more we can do with it, whether or not individually think it's a good idea. I think it's, we've done what we can to it to get it to the City Council to let them make their decision so that they can decide. I don't think there's much more work we can do on it than what we've done.
I like our discussion that we've had because it's brought up points on both sides of you know, pros and cons. There's always going to be pros and cons of everything that there is. And you know, and I just still like the benefit that this might give the citizens of Oregon the choice to kind of manage how they think they could do it, make it look, and still be considerate of their neighbors also.
If I could add, I'd like, I kind of expressed this last time, but I hope those that are here or those that will be reading this do understand the amount of time and effort we've put into this topic. Not just this time, but we've talked about this a lot. You know, David mentioned letting the citizens make choices, and I do believe that's why we're here. None of us, I would say, chose to be in this position. This was something asked of us as citizens, and so it's never something you want to have to make decisions that may affect people, but you know, we do have to make some decisions tonight. But we did have very good discussions, and I think with what's written, it does give City Council some direction on how we feel on the topic and what we feel are crucial items to have in the ordinance to be able to make it something that could work if so chosen by city council. So.
So I would entertain a motion and a second if you're so inclined, so that we could have a vote on this to go to the city council.
I'll just go ahead and move that we approve the ordinance amending the definition of the detached accessory dwelling units, DADUs, to allow short-term rentals, vacation rentals, for lot parcel that are 10,000 square feet or larger in residential zones within the community, and providing an effective date.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. A motion and a second. And let's do roll call. Start with you, sir.
I'll say aye.
Okay.
Nay.
I also vote nay. If we were individuals and not a city, then we could act according to our own desires, but we've all got neighbors, and I don't think this is in the best interest of the future of the city.
Nay.
Aye.
Thank you.
So it goes to the council with a vote of 3-2 against?
Yes. Item number 2, discussion and possible action to recommend approval of the proposed changes in the general commercial zone. Those are the changes that we just discussed at the public hearing.
Are you looking for a motion?
I am looking for a motion.
I move for action to recommend approval of proposed changes in the general commercial zone.
I'll second that.
Motion by Richard, second by Sherman. All in favor?
Aye.
Item number 3, discussion and general and possible action to recommend approval of the proposed changes in the retail commercial zone.
I'll go ahead and move that we approve, recommend for approval the proposed changes in the retail commercial zone.
I'll second.
Motion by Kyson, second by Sherman. All in favor?
Aye.
Item number 3, discussion and possible action to recommend approval of the proposed changes in retail. I just did that. Sorry. Item number 4, proposed changes in the tourist commercial zone.
I'll make a motion that we approve the proposed changes in the tourist commercial zone.
Second.
Motion by Christian, second by Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
Item number 5, I would like to postpone until we give that mixed use zone more consideration.
I agree.
Okay. Item number 6, discussion regarding the top side and the development agreement. We've kind of discussed that. Do you have more? Okay.
No, you got the copies. Just read it and Brad will bring more to light next time and bring up any questions, because our time is at hand now, so we need to be vigilant and proactive on it.
So can I ask a question on just based off of what's going on with the civil property, the development agreement, everything that was brought to us does not include that civil property.
Right.
They would have to go through the same process,
right.
Bring stuff before us. So it's just preparing us for what's coming in that regard.
Yeah. We never thought the civil property there would come up for sale. So it has.
Item number 7, discussion regarding a conceptual plan. Do you want to address that?
I forgot to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
So my bad, you can take it out that one week afterwards.
Shall we postpone that to a future meeting also?
Well, I've got,
Casey.
Yeah, you know, I'm old. He just basically just wanted to kind of get a general feel of what you think about this conceptual idea before we really went into it. Rather we decided we wanted to come back with it. So I told him he could take a few minutes and just kind of pitch it. You got a picture of it, I think, in your packet, right?
Please.
Does anybody need a hard copy?
They're here.
Okay. So Casey Stratton, David Holmes in development. And Derek said, I just wanted to pitch an idea just to get a kind of reaction from you to see if it's dead on arrival or if there's possibility that it could go somewhere. So I'm just a small-time builder here in Southern Utah, born and raised in Hurricane, and just kind of building Washington County. I'd like to break into more of a commercial side or a little bit bigger development, and this is an idea that is kind of stuck with me. I don't know if it can go anywhere, but this is where it starts, is just getting the feedback. It would require cooperation from the city to make it work with how I think works best for this property. So this is the two parcels that are currently for sale there off of 300 South, north of the Hot Springs. And so there's a commercial piece there and a residential piece. What I kind of came up with a quick brainstorm of kind of a concept plan of how would be, I think, a good use of that property is kind of breaking it up, starting with SR9 with some commercial pads, leading into some transient lodging, then transitioning from there into some multifamily, and then back to single family as it hits that 100 West. So it's kind of that natural progression as you get your major arteries through a town, you want to kind of just go from your commercial closest back to residential that goes away. And so that's what's before you right there. And I just kind of want to get some feedback, see what the feeling for it. He felt like it was a doable plan, or if it was had some major drawbacks, or what. So right now, the zoning is only on the residential, I think, is
R114,
and so obviously multifamily doesn't fit in that zoning, and R18 doesn't. So it would need a little bit of zone change and some work there.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Faye, but we also don't currently have a zone to allow transient lodging. I'm assuming you're talking about vacation rental properties for that.
Yeah, so it would be it wouldn't be individually owned. It would be one whole business there, but with individual units.
That's not zoned tourist commercial there, is it?
No. Do you know? So his front piece is general commercial. And then the back piece is R114. And so basically, with the exception of the general commercial property that's listed, which would be allowed depending on the business, the rest of it would be zoning that we would have to look at redoing or reallotting for. And we've had several conversations on this, especially when it came down to, you remember the SR9 corridor study that talked about, coming from the back from your businesses off of SR9 to go into more high densities and then open it up more due to the fact that the high density has the ability to pay for the infrastructure in front of, whereas the single family, especially the R1A, our R114, our biggest zones, have no possibility. That's where the citizens get to pick up the stuff there. So he's kind of incorporated a lot of the things that the SR9 corridor study brought to us. And this may be something because a lot of it's new, and we know that we have concerns with smaller building lots and duplexes, threeplexes. So it's going to be a conversation going forward on this. I think he really wanted to kind of get this out, and this may be something that you need to think about, and we'll bring up at our next meeting, you know, after you've had time to think about it and have that discussion. Conceptually, I like the idea because I think it fits the SR9 corridor study that we participated in to a T. I think the duplex, the threeplex concept is a need. We talked about even doing that somewhat in the Interstate Rocks property coming off of Silver Acres and integrating it down as it goes down to 740 North. I like the fact that he's got it opening back up from that to the R18. I know I've talked to several council members that own properties right around there. They were willing to potentially look at R16 properties, which are, you know, small properties. So I think it's a discussion that we need to have that we've kind of just put off, but I think now that as things are pressing forward like they are, I think it's something we need to resolve and start to figure out how we're going to address it, because it is a need. You know, this might be part of this, could be part of that people being able to get their first time homes, you know, because those are going to be privately owned, right? Three places, yeah. You got there.
They'd be townhomes.
Townhomes.
Each would be individually owned.
You know,
just
so
get a better price point when you get townhomes.
Yeah. You know, so if that's what we're concerned about, which was brought up in the work meeting, you know, this might be a way. This opens up a lot more conversation that we need to have, and this is really starting to become a thing going forward. Kyson and Interstate Rock, you know, are doing a lot of these projects now, and that's what they would like to see also down in their area. So, you know, it's something that's starting to happen more than not.
I was going to say, looking at the zoning, like the way the area is zoned is very much, it's paralleling the highway, but I do think we're going to have to consider and be okay with an adjustment of zoning to straighten it out, because it doesn't make sense to put a road sideways through that property. So what he's done, I like the layout. I think it makes a lot more sense with the actual zoning map that we have for this. And I think it's hard because it is general commercial. But it does make a lot more sense in this area than maybe in others with the hot springs where they are located. So I can see some benefits there, but there's some changes from what's currently there.
Yeah, looking at it, I personally do like that it packs in some density, but does gradual out as you get more towards the residential side. You're not packing townhomes all the way back into what's currently single-family home residential. You're doing that for a little bit, then you have a space there for that R18. I do wonder, I know this is a general concept, but I know a lot of times with townhome sections or subdivisions like that, you do want to think about amenities for those people in those townhomes, what they have access to, where they don't have a yard and, you know, as much yard to be able to do things in. You know, sometimes they'll provide for an area for amenities for those people in those townhomes. I don't see that provided for here. I do see it for the vacation rentals, but not for them. And that's something we might consider with that, is what are those people's access to an amenity as an outdoor space for those people in that dense area. But I do like having the denser area as an option.
Very often with me, my knee-jerk reaction is nothing at all like my reaction a week later. Give us some time to consider.
And then to that point, I have absolutely no right other than just to say, hey, what do you guys think? Because I don't own this property. So this is very preliminary. This is just due diligence of, I have an idea. I think it's a really good idea and a really smart use of that property, given its location, its proximity to the hot springs. I think that would be a really good use for here with commercial, with some transient lodging, to capitalize on kind of the tourist resort are right to commercial, but that buffer and townhomes are a great buffer. And then and back into it. So it was line of, I think this could work really well here, but it's not a perfect zoning. I do think in the commercial zone, they allow it a hotel right there. This is basically a decentralized hotel. But it still has a main office, you still have amenities, you still have all that stuff there. It's just individual units, which is a higher demand for people traveling. They like to have their own spot. And so they can have a kitchen, they can have a washer and dryer, and you know, a place to park right in front of their unit. So it's just catering to the higher demand we see in more individual lodging instead of rooms. Then you could put a whatever 200 room hotel right there and it fits in the zoning. So this is just a little bit different approach to a similar means, but it's decentralized instead of all together. It do have, my intention, if it were to ever go anywhere, would be to have a main office with someone there, like you would at a hotel, and then have quite amenities like a pool and things for guests. And then in the very front, I think it would be a really cool thing to have some pickleball courts up there and make them kind of quasi-public so that they could, because they're right in the front. There's not enough pickleball courts around, so I was like, I have a spot there that I think would work good. Throw those in there, open up to the public. I don't know that that necessarily addresses the open space we're talking about, right? Well, townhomes, they're going to care a lot more about affordability and are giving a little bit more space for parking and stuff there than this is required. I didn't think about open space at this point because it's so preliminary.
So maybe if we can take this concept and then bring it back, if you're okay, in a couple of weeks with more questions.
Okay.
And decide, you know, if that's something we can start looking at.
Let's do that. And thank you.
Thank you.
That would bring us to item, was it H?
I think we've spent a lot of time today. I move that we adjourn.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.